Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
All right, who's ready for the word this morning? Well, this front row here, these two are anyway. So, who's ready for the word this morning? You know, if we don't have an open heart, God gives it to the measure we're open to receive. When we come to a service, you'll encounter God to the measure you're ready to receive God. He won't force himself upon us, but when we come hungry, when we come open, that is the best place to hear God and to receive from him. So with open hearts that we come and open hands to see what he wants to do. All right, Chrissy preached a fantastic word last week on authenticity. Who enjoyed that? It was so good, wasn't it? And, you know, she shared how who we are on the inside needs to align with who we are on the outside. So what we are on the inside manifests itself in how we act on the outside. And that is so important because we all want to be authentic, right? We want to be authentic disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things that I've learned, been around a while now, as you can see with this grey stuff, cost me a lot of money to put that in. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, that it's a journey that we're on. How many know God created us to win? God created us to be effective. God created us to overcome. When in Genesis he said, go forth and have dominion, and nothing has changed. He wants us to have dominion in our lives and to live lives that are full and fruitful. But what I've discovered, that the only way that happens is with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit inside us, helping us to become who Jesus wants us to become. It's a journey that the Holy Spirit works on us, bringing us to a place of authenticity and fruitfulness. So God designed us for spiritual journey, to become more like Jesus. And how many know it's so important that we become more like Jesus? Yes. You see, when he was on the planet, what he did, he connected with people and he connected the heart of God to people. People didn't understand God. It went through sacrifices. It went through the priests. But when Jesus came for the first time, people began to understand what it was to see the heart of God as Jesus touched the sick and the lepers and the ostracized and those who were lonely and depressed and messed up by life. Jesus, in a real way, demonstrated the reality in the heart of God. As he walked the streets and as he touched people, he looked into their eyes and he accepted them. The devil thought that he'd won when he crucified Jesus and he destroyed Jesus' body so that Jesus no longer had the opportunity to walk those dusty streets. But what the enemy didn't know was that God is raising up a whole new body all over this planet that is called to walk and manifest the heart of God to people who need to see a loving God. Amen? Amen. And that's us, the church. So God has got us on this journey. But, you know, I don't know if, you know, you're like me, and I think sometimes most of us are like the rest of us, but, you know, sometimes it's really easy to ignore the journey. Or maybe just to think, you know, I don't know, there's been seasons in my life where I just say, stop, the planet, I want to get off. You ever felt like that? Oh, yeah. You know, sometimes we get in so engrossed with life that we forget we're even on a journey. At times it doesn't even feel like a journey because it's just same old, same old. And that's, I guess, so much about being human, isn't it? But see, life is a journey. And God has designed it to be a journey where we grasp by the Holy Spirit the change that he wants to bring and the opportunities that he has for us every day. Every day God has opportunities for us. And he wants to align us in our hearts so that we see and we understand and we become who he's called us to be. And that's a journey with the Holy Spirit, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives so we become more like him. Listen to Paul's prayer. And he's talking about some of this growth and understanding, but notice also how this journey has to be done with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it alone. Anybody given up trying? He says this in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power," again, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, "together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Can you imagine that? All the fullness of God. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power," that is the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us, "to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this morning, I want to speak on the topic, owning the journey.
Come on.
Owning the journey. God has plans for your life. You were created for good works, as we heard this morning. We're created to be fruitful for God and to have him at work in our lives. And thank God he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us in that journey, to help us to do that and to be who he wants us to be. You see, in Ephesians 5, it says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When it says there, "be filled with the Spirit," that's not talking about a one-off. The tense of the verse, if you look in the original, it means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, be constantly allowing the Holy Spirit's presence to come upon us. Be being filled. That's why it's so important how we come, that there's an openness to our posture that goes, "I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more of the presence of God in my life. I want a greater encounter with him." Because that's the journey to change.
Amen.
So it is, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just look at this in three different ways and try and demonstrate this for you so that hopefully it makes it a little bit clearer. But here is the question that I want to ask, and the thing that I want us to be thinking about as I'm sharing this. Who is in control of your life and my life? Who is actually in control? Because, you know, salvation is far more than sins forgiven and going to heaven. Salvation is about becoming like Jesus in order to portray Jesus to a dying world with the power to do what Jesus did. So he wants to equip us to be like Jesus. Now, living with dominion in our lives and training us so that we get the idea what it actually means and what it looks like to rule and reign with him in eternity. So who is in control? It's a question of lordship. So here you can see I've got three chairs. And I want to hopefully demonstrate this a little bit to you. This is chair number one. Chair number one is the chair where people sit who don't know Jesus. You know, I think we can all look back to before we knew Jesus, and life can be challenging, right? And it's challenging because we're in control. it's up to us. We do our best to get by in life. But we all know that the struggle with hurts and rejection and pain, frustration comes. It's a world of relativism, where nothing is absolute, nothing is truth. And so we just do our best to try and go forward, but so often without direction, without real hope, without actually understanding, well, why are we here on this planet? Life has its challenges, and like I say, we do our best, but, you know, circumstances with society, we watch the news and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, stuff that happens in community and happens in family and happens in relationships that shapes our perspective, where we just try and manage life. So often habits and past wrongdoing and fear, worry, sit just below the surface. Anybody relate to what I'm saying? We know that place, don't we? And listen, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, that is not a criticism. But I pray that at the end of this, that you will know the Lord Jesus. And that you won't be sitting in this place of ambiguity, but you find yourself sitting in a place of destiny with the Lord Jesus. The second chair that we can look at is a chair that I think many of us find ourselves in from time to time. Certainly, I find myself in this chair from time to time. And this is a chair where we've discovered Jesus. He has forgiven our sins and we know him as our Savior, and we know that we're going to heaven, right? But if we're really honest, it's also a place where we live with a perspective where the supernatural, and we can only be saved supernaturally, right? Yeah. That's a supernatural act of God. Nothing we can do. It's only what he can do. And so we're saved with this supernatural encounter with the presence of God, and we give our life to him. But the truth is, there's still a heck of a lot of us that's still in control.
Yeah, very true.
You know, we try and work our way through things, and we try and use our own abilities, our own instincts, our own preferences, our own priorities. Just still trying to live life, and, you know, we come to church and we do the stuff, but, you know, worry. You know where worry comes from? We only worry when we're in control. Because we worry because when we're in control, we know we're not really in control. See, when he's in control, we don't have to worry.
Amen.
So, you know, peace at times is lacking. Because we're carrying things. You know, Jesus said, without him, we can do nothing. Sometimes we can try so hard in our serving. We can try so hard in our own strength to please God and please people. But really, in so many parts of our lives, there's still habits. There's still hurt. There's still frustration. There's still stuff that wants to dominate in our lives. Why do we so often come back or sit in this chair? You know, we're made up of three parts. We're made up of body, of soul, and of spirit. And that's why Jesus said that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. He's talking about those things. So in this thing, heart and soul is used in the Bible interchangeably. So when it says heart, it could be talking about soul, or soul talking about heart. Heart is the place of emotion. It's a part of desires. And so Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your strength, which is your body, your heart, or your soul, and your spirit. So our body, that's the thing that we see. That's what you're sitting on right now. So it comes with its own needs and desires and stuff. We all know that. And it's made up basically of, you know, the input from that is sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. And what happens? So that's our body. The second part is our soul. Now, our soul is made up of our will. It's made up of our mind. And it's made up of our emotions. These collectively, when we look at that, I don't think I need to go into that. You know, our mind is our thinking, our will is our decision making, our emotions is what, you know, that stuff. Yeah. And so when we look at those are the things that Paul tells us is the old man. They're the things that are supposed to die. Now, that doesn't mean that our mind dies or our emotions dies, but what it means is that the control, we need to surrender the control of our mind, the control of our emotions, the control of our will, the control of our body over to the Lordship of Jesus. In that sense, they're supposed to die. It says in Romans 6, verse 5 to 8, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that the old self," which is that, "was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we'll also live with him." In 2 Corinthians it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." Now, the third part is our spirit. When we sin, and we were born with sin, sin kills the spirit. So the spirit dies, because the spirit is the place that God connects with us. God speaks in our spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. And so what happens, we lose our spirituality, as it were, through sin. Divine connection with God stops. But when we become a Christian, when we surrender to Jesus Christ, the cross deals with sin, our spirit comes to life, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak into our spirit. So divine connection is again reestablished with God. That's why we can hear God. That's why, you know, outside of Christ, we don't hear him. But when our spirit comes to life, we hear and we connect with God by the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense? That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's a spiritual death that ultimately leads to a physical death and an eternal death. But spiritual life brings life now and eternal life, because he brings life to our spirit. Now, as a Christian, what happens is that with our spirit now alive, there is a fight that goes on as to who is actually going to be in control of our life. Is it our body with its desires and its needs? Is it our soul? Or is it our spirit that is led by the Holy Spirit? So that the Holy Spirit in our spirit becomes the center of our lives. Let me show you a little demonstration here. In here, I have an abomination. A donut. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. If there's anyone from the donut shop, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. It's a donut. Now, I can look at that donut, and you know what? inside of me, there's a fight going on. My flesh is going, yeah. My mind is going, sugar, fat. Don't do it. Lost weight? Why do you want to put it back on? My will is sitting in the middle going, My emotions, well, right now, a bit of comfort food would be good. The Holy Spirit is going, So which one wins? You see, in all of our lives, every day, there is this challenge going on as to who is Lord.
Yeah.
Who is in control?
Great word, Pastor Ken.
Hold on.
Is it my emotions? I'm hurt, you know. I'm so frustrated. Is it my emotion? I'm just going to go quiet. I've got every right to be angry. Is it my will? You know, you really should do exercise. Yeah, I know, but who wants to get out of bed in the morning? You will get out of bed. Is it my mind? I'm trying to figure it out. Rational, logical. Nothing wrong with any of that, except when it interferes with the purposes and the Word of God. How do I see myself? Do I see myself the way Jesus says, or do I see myself through my own eyes and my life's experience? Do I let my emotions run my life? Who wins? Who is actually in control? See, either Jesus is Lord or he's not.
Yeah.
And so this journey is one of allowing the Holy Spirit to help us put him in control. You know, this chair here, chair number 3, this is the place of fellowship. This is the place of communion. This is the place of God's downloading of his provision, of his strength, of his goodness. This is the place where God enriches our lives and changes us to become more like Jesus, because this is a seat of surrender. This is a seat where we say, you take control of my life. Not my emotions and my will and my feelings. But Holy Spirit, you take your place in my life. Is this making sense? See, that's why in John 15, you know, Jesus talked about that scripture of abiding in the vine. That's exactly the chair that he's talking about. He says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's the old nature. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. There's the journey, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Therefore, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How good is that? You see, it's not that challenges don't come. It's not that life suddenly gets easy. But what we do is when we're in the storm, we realize that it's Jesus who's in the boat. It's Him who's wanting to minister and help us to get through. He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You see, in this chair, so often it's me trying to make me right. But in this chair, it's not me trying to make me right. It's Him making me right. It takes so much pressure out of living this wonderful Christian life when He's in control. Because He changes us in the journey. Can I show you how this works? A number of years ago, I used to make regular trips into Eastern Europe while it was all under the communist regime. And we were actually the first vehicle they ever let drive into Lithuania and through there up to the capital, Vilnius. And war was about to break out there. It was a pretty scary place to be. And we got to this church where we were scheduled to preach, and it was a big church of 1,000 people. And so we turned up and everyone came in and everyone is weeping and wailing. It's like, what is this? 1,000 people all crying. And then this very large Russian lady got up on this little squeaky pump organ and started to play, and I realized why they were crying. I started as well. It was terrible. But I was to preach, and I had prepared to preach, and so I've come to this meeting wondering about all the crying, but I'm sitting here full of faith, ready to preach. And so after all this stuff has gone on, everyone's crying, and the pastor says, "You're preaching, right?" I said, "Yeah." And so he invites me up, and so the platform is a really high platform off the ground. It stood about that high. And then you walked across the platform, and you go into this little box, bird's nest, that was up. Like, so you're looking down on everyone. So I'm walking up the stairs to preach, and he says to me, stops me as I'm halfway up the stairs, and he says, "Do you believe in healing?" I said, "Yeah." Now, they didn't have Bibles. They had no teaching at all. They had nothing. So he says to me, "Do you believe in healing?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. The Bible teaches healing." And so immediately he says, "You preach now on healing." I'm halfway across the platform and go, "You want me to preach on healing?" And he says, "Yes, you preach on healing." I started full of faith. Halfway across the platform, he's saying, "Now, you preach on healing." Suddenly fear, worry, stress. What am I going to do? I've got 6 steps and 27 steps up into the bird's nest to prepare a sermon to people I've never met before, whose language and culture I don't understand, with an interpreter that I'm not real struck on, and everyone's crying. I start praying frantically. "God, you got to help me here. You got to give me something to say, to preach to these precious people." And as I'm praying, as I'm walking up those stairs, I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, "Okay, let's go. What have you got?" So I preached my sermon to these 1,000 people who are still crying. You know, that happens to us every day. Yeah. hurts, frustrations, kids, business, poor self-image, wrong beliefs, finance, insecurity, times when we just feel inadequate. Where are we going to sit? You know, the interesting thing was, I preached this sermon, and just faith was there to preach. I did my best with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I stand up, and I'm about to make an altar call, and 1,000 people just stand up and walk out. I'm standing on the platform as the place is draining. Was it that bad? Must have been a dog of a sermon. They're all gone. And I'm sitting, I'm standing on the platform by myself. The pastor comes to me and he says, "Do you really believe in healing?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He says, "You come with me." So we go out this back room and there's 20 of the sourest old elders I've ever seen anywhere in my life. They, every one of them looked like they'd graduated with a doctorate in sucking lemons. They are sitting there so negative and sour. And he said, "Now, do you really believe in healing?" And I'm kind of, why? He says to me, "See that elder there?" I looked and I wasn't sure whether this guy was alive or dead. He says, "He is very sick." I'm thinking, "He's dead." He says, "You pray for him now." Oh, Jesus. Really? I'm going here. I don't... What do you mean, Christian? He says, "You pray for him now." So I'm going, "Oh, Lord, if ever there's a miracle, now be really handy. These guys, I will be dead." And so faith began to grow. Say, "Jesus, you know I can't do this. God, I need you so bad right now." Faith began to rise. So I started to pray for this old man. You know what it was like? He got a needle of something. Immediately, God healed him. I'm going, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. I do believe in healing." The pastor says to me, "Do they have to be here to be healed?" I'm going, what's coming now? He says, "We have a wedding tomorrow and the bride is dying. Will you pray for the bride now?" Oh, a Russian wedding hangs on my head. I start to pray, and I'm not even halfway through the prayer, and he's on the phone. "Are you better?" I thought, "Gee, let me finish the prayer. Give me a break here." God supernaturally healed that bride. We actually went to the wedding the next day. And I'm going, "Jesus, you're amazing. You are so good." Then he said to me, he said, "Will you come back tonight and preach?" "Yeah? Those people, they're all going to come back, are they?" So we got there that night. Again, 1,000 people come who are weeping. Just so lost. I preached. I'm full of faith as I preach. And I looked at the pastor and I said, can I do an altar call? He said, I don't know what that is. What is an altar call? I said, can I get people to come forward to experience the reality of Jesus? People finding him and getting healed. He said, sure. So I get up and do this altar call. I invite people to come forward. Nobody moves. I look at the pastor and he said, do it again. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. I do another altar call. Nobody moves. Hey, life is like this.
Yeah. So true.
So often, it's letting go of control. It's putting him in his place to do what only he can do in bringing change, in restoring, in healing, in making us be who he wants us to be so that we can do what he's called us to do. I look back at the pastor. He says, do it again. Jesus, please. You're in control. I don't know what's going on, but you do. I made a third altar call. By this time, I'm out of the bird's nest. Second altar call, I was on the platform. The third one, I went down to the floor. I made the third altar call. And nobody moved. And then the pastor stood up and he said, you can come. Next thing, there was 1,000 people on that altar call. My feet were literally off the ground. There wasn't enough room for me to put my feet on the ground. Just right in front of me was this precious old lady. I don't know how old she was, because when you're driving in Eastern Europe back at that time, there were no fences. It was all government owned, and you could see the line of elderly people from the road stretching across the horizon out of sight, because there was no social security, there was no welfare, and so you just worked. And so many of these old people were bent from arthritis, from the cold and the hard frozen ground, bent, arthritic, in pain. And there's this precious old lady standing in front of me. Just, she's bent so far down, I can't see her face. Her shoulders are frozen. And I grabbed her hands, and just nothing would move. So I just put my hand on her head, and next thing there's this crack, 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 crack. And her arms shot in the air, and she started to dance as God healed her from the top of her head to the crown of her feet. And then the lady next to her and the person next to her. And I turned to these 20 old elders who were standing on the platform with their mouths open as God just started doing miracles. People started getting saved by the hundreds. I jumped up there and I laid my hands on every one of them and said, you go and pray now for the sick. You go and pray for these people. And God just broke out everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved and healed because we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. You know, every day in our journey, we make choices about who's going to be in control. Sometimes we're not even aware of the journey, so we allow our emotions, we allow our frustrations, we allow our hurts. We allow our fears. To run our lives. But there's a wonderful Savior who sent the Holy Spirit so that we're not in control. But he's in control. And he makes us to be who He created us to be and do what He created us to do. And that's for every one of us, wherever you are in the journey. That's for every one of us. But you know, it's our decision to own the journey. Life will own the journey if we let it. Or the Holy Spirit will own the journey if we let Him. And it's Him we want to own the journey. Amen? To be who God's called us to be. And so, however messed up, however good, how it doesn't matter where we're at, I pray that from this seat, as God brings His Spirit afresh in our lives as we give to Him, then He picks us and we move to this place where we learn to live what it means to be truly authentic, to be who God has called us to be. And that's an opportunity for every one of us, every one of us, to see Him as Lord, to own the journey and allow Him to truly be Lord, so that it's not a fight, but it's a surrender. You know, we can spend so much of our lives fighting rather than simply surrendering. And when we surrender, then we give Him the opportunity to fight for us. Amen. I'd like you to just stand to your feet quickly as we conclude this service today.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.